All right, children, be ready. I'll have a children's message for you, and I may ask you some questions, so please listen. Our sermon text today is John 4, 7 through 30, and Pastor Ed will be bringing that sermon. And I am going to start reading at verse 1 because I thought I could explain, but it'll take me as long to explain as to just read that part of the text. So I'll be reading verses 1 through 30 in the ESV. Let's pray together and ask God to bless his word. Lord Jesus, you were there, and you know all things, and you knew the heart of this woman. You knew all that she was, and you knew all that she did, and you knew what you came to do. I pray that you would give us an understanding of this text. I pray that you would give us a thirst for living water, and I pray that you would meet that thirst, that you would give us what we need to have life. Bless the reading of your word, and bless Pastor Ed as he preaches today, and bless the children too. In Jesus' name, amen. John 4, starting at verse 1. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have is not your husband. What you said is true." Then the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Then they went out of the town and were coming to him. This is God's word for us today. All right, boys and girls, please come forward and looks like this side will have a little bit more room today, so let's come over here. And you can have a seat. And Eliza, you can come over here. All right. Go ahead and turn around. All right. Well, let's see if you remember the story. And okay, stop there. Good. Boys and girls, Jesus came to a well. Do you know what a well is? Who knows? That's right.
I saw my neighbors have a well.
Do they? Wow, that's pretty cool. And Jesus came to the well, and he met a woman. And do you remember what he asked for?
Water.
He asked for water. How many of you have been thirsty before? Yeah, me too. When you're thirsty, will it help if I give you a big bowl of peanuts? No. How about if I, you say, Pastor B, I'm really, really thirsty. And I say, here's a coloring book and some crayons. Will that help?
No.
No. All right. Yeah. And what do you need if you're really thirsty?
Water.
You need water. And boys and girls, Jesus asked for water, but he told the woman at the well that she needed another kind of water. Arthur, thank you. What kind of water did he say the woman needed? Do you remember? Was it regular water?
No.
Was it colorful water?
No.
Was it living water?
Yes.
Yes. Jesus told the woman that she needed living water, and she said, you can only get it from me. And this woman, she didn't understand at first, but she started to understand that Jesus was not just a regular person, but he was the Savior. He was the Messiah, the Christ. And Jesus said, if you get water from me, you'll never be thirsty ever again. Now, what does Jesus mean? He means that he'll give us water in our hearts. He'll give us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will help you love God, and you will feel God's love from God's Holy Spirit. Is that pretty cool?
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty cool. But today, we learned about living water. And so, boys and girls, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for these children. Thank you for their hearts and for their minds. Thank you for Eliza and Arthur, and thank you for Caitlin. And I pray that you bless them all and bless all the children at our church. Lord, fill them with your Spirit. Fill them with living water. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, boys and girls. You may go back to your parents. Pastor Ed, thank you so much for bringing us the word, and it is a pleasure to hear from you, so thank you.
Beloved people of God, living in Fresno, California, we cannot even begin to imagine how we would feel if we were surrounded by an enemy. And the tactic of the enemy was, we will just surround you and wait until you are thirsty enough and your people are falling dead in the street, and then you will just surrender the city. When you attend seminary, you learn very quickly that Jerusalem, even as it is this morning, is a city between great powers. And reading the Old Testament, it seemed as though Jerusalem was always being in contention. Who was going to be the ruler of that city? Jan and I had the joy of visiting Jerusalem a few years ago. It was such a delightful experience because on our Bible Land tour, our guide, who was very, very knowledgeable, would take us to a place and then share with us some of the accounts in the Bible that refer to this particular location, like the Sermon on the Mount, or Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, or the place where the Gadaran demoniacs were. All of these places became very alive. And then he explained to us in some detail how the city of Jerusalem was always very vulnerable. All an enemy would like to do is surround it, this little country, this little city, comparatively speaking, with thousands and thousands of enemy soldiers and just wait it out. When people were dying like flies because of lack of water, what can you do but open up the city gates? The city was doomed. And then what the guy did, he took us to a place. It was an underground tunnel. It was 1,700 and some feet long. And it was connected to an underground spring. That spring of water is referred to in both 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. It is often referred to as Hezekiah's spring. And it was built about 700 years before Christ. They had none of the equipment that engineers have today. How are you going to start digging from over here and over here, 1,700 and some feet, and connect? It was considered one of the engineering marvels of that classical period or pre-classical period. Why such a huge amount of energy and resources to make this happen? Because they knew of the agony of being surrounded by the enemy. Now you see, look at Jesus. If you thirst, when you are surrounded by the enemy, now be honest with yourself. Don't you feel sometimes you're surrounded by the enemy? I do. Don't you thirst for Jesus? Don't you get on your knees and ask Jesus, Lord, I am overwhelmed. Open a door. May my thirst be quenched. May I learn to be satisfied in you. And I'm going to give you just a personal experience of this week. I received a phone call from Minnesota. Here is a man who has a cantankerous personality. He has been divorced. He can't even get along with his own sons. He is the product of a Christian school. Very, very bright. And I had a long conversation with him. He is dying of cancer. He knows it better than doctors, so he refuses to go to doctors. I wonder if Dr. Harry has ever had a patient or two that way. I know the answer, Harry. Anyway, this man, when I first came to know him, was always talking about suing. I don't know how many people he sued in his life. And slowly but surely, I counseled him, I talked to him repeatedly. And when he and I were done speaking with each other on yesterday morning, he never once talked about his anger. He never once talked about suing. He talked several times about leaving it in God's hands. And he said to me, "I'm ready to die." Jesus has ministered to my need. I think that's what this passage is about, don't you? Jesus satisfying the deepest need that you have in your life. Let's look at this account. Let's look at, first of all, the woman. This was a woman from Samaria. Does that mean, well, she's from Nevada? No, it has a very special meaning. Because there was tremendous animosity between the people of Judah and the people of Samaria. The obvious way to go from Judea to Galilee was through Samaria. But Jews didn't do that. No, they went all the way around and took this route just to avoid the people of Samaria. And that animosity was centuries long. But what was the real reason that Jesus went through Samaria? Not because it was shorter, but because, as James Montgomery Boyce says, Jesus had to go that way to meet the Samaritan woman with whom no Orthodox Jew would meet. No Orthodox Jew would sit at a well and ask water of this Samaritan woman. The 12 would have avoided her. And Jesus, in his clever way, what does he do? He sends them off to buy food. Jesus had it all pre-planned. And here was Jesus. And out of his compassion for people, Jesus wanted to meet her. What does that communicate to you and I? I will be the first to admit that there are people that I avoid. I really hate to admit that, but I do that humbly. I really avoid sometimes meeting certain drug addicts. When I ministered in the inner city in New Jersey for a couple years, there were certain streets that I always took my German Shepherd dog with me when I walked down the street. There were certain apartment houses that I felt uneasy about entering. And that was during the prime of my life. And here is Jesus. "Lady," we don't know her name, "I have an appointment with you. Even though you are totally unaware, I am seeking you." What do the commentators say? I believe these commentators wholeheartedly. Here is a woman that has been so pushed around and stepped on by society that she didn't even go to the village well in the village of Sychar. She went outside the city of Sychar to the well over here, which was Jacob's well. She was a person who was so humiliated. Her self-image was gone. How many times had she been abused and stepped on and misused? And here was Jesus, a Jew, not a fellow Samaritan, but a Jew, who showed her respect and dignity. That's a lesson that I need to learn. Do you need to learn that lesson too? Here is Jesus breaking the barriers of society. This is a living parable. Jesus shows his thirst, or shall I say, his desire, to meet this rejected woman who has no idea how thirsty she really is, so she can be restored from the sorrow of her sin and have self-dignity again. This is a theme that is repeated in the Bible again and again and again. It may be the high society person like Nicodemus. It may be the person born blind. It may be the woman with the issue of blood. And today, it is the men and women, perhaps to some extent all of us, who have broken every commandment. When the Bible says, "Come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you identify yourself with that? I do. Jesus is always going out and seeking the people who really need him, but in many cases don't realize how much they need him. And I think that one of the conclusions of this passage very clearly is that this passage is good news for everyone. I don't know how you feel, but I am disgusted. I'm even angry that we seem to be in a society in America that's always building and driving wedges between people. And we hear that all the time if you have any awareness of the news, whatever. This group is being mistreated. This group is being stepped on. This group is suffering depression, economic depression. Why can't we just be people who support each other and lift up the fallen? And then as you look at yourself, how many times do we, in our prayer closet, admit before God that we wish we were freed completely from this or that or that? Some desire. I remember a few years ago, we had a family in the church who had an elegant cabin up here in the mountains, just an hour and a half away. And I said to him, "Wow, what an elegant place." He said, "It is, Pastor, and we appreciate it. But the chase is worth a lot more than the prize. Now that we have it, it doesn't mean that much to me anymore. I had a great thirst for it, but the thirst doesn't satisfy that much. I have a thirst to grow in Jesus." Isn't that what we all desire? And isn't that what we all want? Well, let's look back a little bit upon this animosity. It grew way back there, remember, when there were 2 southern kingdoms and 10 northern kingdoms? And then the people in the north built centers of worship so that the people would not desire to go back to Jerusalem for their three great festivals. And then when the northern kingdoms were conquered, they went off to the Assyrians, and they seemed to eventually disperse. And those 10 lost tribes are still lost to this very day. And so the southern kingdom never really accepted the Samaritan people, because many of the original Hebrew people stayed in the area of Samaritan but intermarried with new people. That animosity grew and grew and developed. And here Jesus said, wait a minute. You are from Samaria. You're a half-breed. You're not our kind. You have been many things, but I'm here for you. I want you to know the Messiah. I want you to have that living water. Now let's look just a minute at the well. That well was built many centuries ago. That well was very deep, 100 feet. Can you imagine how much work it took to dig that well, and why was it dug? So that the herdsmen would not have strife on who gets the water available. And that well has had a long history. And here was the place where the people would go. And that was the place where in one direction you would go to Galilee, and another place you would go. It was a division of the road. And here is Jesus. He is saying, you want to drink from that well, but Jesus' real message was a greater well. And I think today, I'm still corresponding with that man that I talked to you about a few years ago. One of the brightest young men that I have met in the churches I have served. A full 5-year scholarship to get his PhD from the University of Nebraska. And he said, Pastor, Christianity no longer satisfies me. I'm not ready to turn my back upon it consistently, but I'm going to try a few things. So he lived with a woman for a period of time, and that didn't work out. He rejected his mom and dad. When he would come home, he would no longer go to church with them. Now he is working in a secret mission for the federal government in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Brilliant in every sense of the word. But what does he need? He needs to drink from the true well. My heart goes out to him. I told him one time, I had him in my catechism class. I told him, I said, I really wish you were my son, and I love him. He is really, truly a great young guy. Then think, for example, of all the people of our society are drinking from a well that is good, whatever they consider to be good, but not from God. How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman from Samaria. And then Jesus pricks her conscience. And of course, this was by the Holy Spirit. If you knew the gift from God, and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink. I believe at that point that woman was absolutely astonished She was dumbfounded. What do you mean by this? There is no way. Yeah, you could ever get water from this well because I have the bucket in my hand. And you want to give me water? How are you going to get that living water? You see, all of us, at one time in our life, needed the living water of conversion. We too were very thirsty. Some of us were more aware of it than others of us. But that living water must be received. You don't automatically become a Christian. And perhaps every one of us has a wonderful story to tell of that moment or over a period of a half a year or 2 years or how somebody else came into our life. And we partook of the living water given by the Lord Jesus Christ. The living water. Doesn't the Bible says, but to those who received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. We must receive that water. We must be converted. Come, everyone who thirsts, come ye to the water. What does that tell us? That God does not reject us if we truly come to him. And isn't that the ace that we have? When we meet someone, we don't say to them, well, ask Jesus for living water and maybe he will accept you. No. We can come to him like the woman at the well in our natural state after having broken every one of the commandments and broken them repeatedly. And he will give us that living water. But I also feel very strongly that we need the living water of sanctification. Does it sometimes frighten you how much you had to learn after you came to know Jesus? How many of the prejudices and the cultural things of life we had to put behind us and just concentrate on Jesus and grow in our understanding of the sovereignty of God. Grow in understanding of his compassion and mercy. Grow in our understanding that it is not because of works righteousness, but is by grace alone that we are saved. In all of these areas of life, Christianity is something that grows on us day by day. I am still ashamed of myself, of how unsanctified I am. I need to grow with that living water to be a more mature Christian, to have a greater witness. In the commentaries that we read, the commentaries point out that in the Hebrew mind, living water was flowing water. It was not stagnant. It was flowing. It was like if you would take a cup from an artesian well, fill it and drink it, fresh and clean. We need to have our hearts cleansed. We need to have our hearts taken so that we accept people in whatever state they might be in. I remember when I was a pastor in my first congregation, I had a minister down the road, and he said to me, now, Pastor, I want to tell you something. When you go visiting, Never look at all the alcohol bottles and beer cans that are in the front porch. He said their real issue is not their drinking, but it is their thirst. I needed to learn that lesson because I came from a home which would never have a beer can in the house under any cost. And we looked down on people who drank beer. I needed to grow. Don't look at the beer cans. Don't look at the alcohol that's in the front porch. Concentrate on their real need. Their real need is to know Jesus. And isn't that what this church is all about? This church is about calling the people of the highways and byways of life. Knowing that we are no better than they apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let us pray. Father in heaven, open our eyes that we may see the glorious truth of your word. And may the Holy Spirit bring to us that living water that we may not only be satisfied in Jesus, but that we may also have an intense desire, like the missionaries that we had in mind this morning and the people all around us, that we may have a real desire that this thirst for the living water may fill their need as well. We give you glory and praise now in the name of Christ. Amen.